for someone that's maybe at the very beginning, let's say,
yeah,
what do you think they should do before looking for management?
Oh, this is going to be so annoying. TikTok. Like.
Welcome to the Cloud Machine Podcast, your all-access pass to the music industry. I'm your host, Matt Landry, and every week we immerse you in the music world, uncovering industry insights, offering expert guidance, and exploring the stories that influence the industry. The Cloud Machine Podcast is brought to you by Aites, the innovative creative agency behind some of your favorite live concerts and tours. Want to take your music to the next level? Join our vibrant community on the Aites Network Discord. And with that, let's get started with today's episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cloud Machine Podcast. Today's discussion on artist management is crucial for anyone that's looking to navigate and excel in the music industry. It's not just for aspiring managers, but also for artists, industry pros, producers, and anyone who values the strategic and business aspects of music. Joining us to share her experience and expertise is Natalie Weigel, an accomplished day-to-day artist manager at 2+2 Management. With her extensive experience and deep understanding of the industry, Natalie has been instrumental in developing and guiding the careers of numerous artists. We're thrilled to have her today to discuss her journey, the intricacies of artist management, and the ever-evolving landscape of the music industry. Plus, later on, she gives us a sneak peek into her dream festival lineup. Hi, Nat. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Where are you coming to us from today?
I'm coming from Toronto, Canada.
Hey. All right.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. I want to start the podcast, how we always start the podcast. I want to ask you about your favorite live show experience that you've ever experienced as a fan.
For me, I'd say last summer I went to Glastonbury Festival in London.
Yes.
Yeah. So Elton John was the headliner that year, and it was his last show in the UK. So crazy. I think that was definitely a very special, unique kind of fan experience. Yeah.
Are you a big fan of Elton John?
I am. And like, honestly, it's great because the festival ticket to go to the UK was as much as like a show to see him in Toronto. So I was happy.
Right.
Lots
right.
Artists do over there. But
yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy how festival, I mean, this is not a revelation. I'm just saying this is not a hot take, but it's crazy how much like a festival ticket actually gets you. Like how much like the value of a festival ticket, especially if you buy like a full weekend or whatever, like
100%, especially with like ticketing fees and like things like that on regular concerts, like it adds up.
Yes,
so
yeah.
If you have a good lineup for you, definitely worth it to buy one usually.
Yeah, totally. And I wanted to ask you this too. I don't ask this often, but because you're a day-to-day manager, you go to a lot of shows, and I'm just following you on Instagram too. And I know you're always at shows now. Is there one recent show that is sort of a highlight for you, but in regards to your artists?
Yeah, so I don't work specifically on their team, but they're on our artist roster. Zed's Dead, every year they play a couple nights at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Denver.
Yeah.
Around the 4th of July weekend. So I was just at that show, and it was their night two. They played Arctic Monkeys, which is one of my like favorite artists, which was like kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
But then they also cut together like almost like a montage of like movie clips and like just like sounds and stuff from movies that they made into this like beautiful song all together. And
that's wild.
Yeah, it was like, such an amazing experience. The amphitheater itself is wild to see.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been there, but a few of the Aites artists have performed there. And every time it's like, wish we were there. And it's just such an iconic venue.
Wow.
Yeah. So wild. Do you get to go to a lot of shows, like the 2+2 artist shows?
Yeah. Like a fair bit. Especially since we'll always go whenever they're kind of around Toronto. And Zed's Dead has a label, Deadbeats, that a lot of the management team helps with. So we end up going to these Deadbeats shows around the US mainly.
Yeah.
I got to go to Europe once, which was really cool.
Yeah,
for
very
it.
Nice.
But yeah. So it is a little bit of travel for shows.
Very nice. I wanted to talk to you about a quote segment that we have on the podcast. Every year we choose a different quote, and I don't want to say every year as this is just the second year, but both years we've had a different quote. Last year was the Erykah Badu quote talking about the music as an art form versus the music business and how they're different, how they're the same, and different perspectives on that stuff. This year, we are analyzing a Joni Mitchell quote from 2004. Now, this is 20 years ago. And she said, "I heard someone from the music business saying that they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate." Now, I want to highlight that she did not necessarily say this, but she heard somebody from the music business saying that they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate. What are your first instincts and first perspective on this when you hear this?
Yeah, I mean, part of it I totally agree with. Part, I think, isn't necessarily true, just because I do think that you have to be talented. A lot of times, like, you can't force someone to have a good singing voice or like to be a talented musician and things like that. Like, there does have to have a skill set there.
Yeah.
But I do think that obviously it helps if you're packaged in a way that an audience can easily digest.
Yes.
Not to say every artist has to be that way, because some of the coolest artists aren't what you would expect from people. But so I think there's some truth in there, but not fully.
Yeah. And when you say like you can't necessarily force them to have like a great voice, do you think that like managers and labels specifically therefore have like a responsibility of seeing like how talented, let's say, or how maybe naturally talented these people are? Because, and I want to extend my question in regards to like sometimes with the social media and stuff, sometimes you don't know what's real and what's maybe not what's real, but what's sort of what they're doing for the TikTok or for the Instagram or whatever. And then you go see them in concert and it's not necessarily there.
Yeah.
Do you feel like managers and labels therefore take on the responsibility of, let's say, like the talent portion?
Yeah, like I think like for kind of like the first part of your question, I do think that like they have to understand the scope of what like the artist talent is, and then from there be able to find the best way that they fit into the industry where they're still authentic to themselves, but at the same time, like, you are doing that as your job, so you need to make money from it. So finding the good balance of that, definitely, like, I think would be a manager's role to help guide an artist in the right direction.
Yeah.
And then, like, moving over to kind of the TikTok side of things, I do think that that's something tricky that we're seeing, too, is where someone can be really a fantastic performer for TikTok, where they have time to like think things through and get the right shot and have the script ready. But then once they're in the live, in front of a live audience, you don't see that energy or like that charisma sort of thing.
Sure.
But then some artists like can't perform for TikTok because they just don't really have the personality or like the comfort level of doing that in front of the screen. But then on stage, oh my God, it's incredible.
Yes. Yeah, it's a balance of both. I had a discussion, I was going to say just a few months ago, but it's way longer than that. I had a discussion with this one artist manager, and she was saying how like even the artists that don't necessarily like fit on TikTok from like a, you know, like a personality perspective should still be able to sort of find their way in the industry. I remember having a conversation in regards to giving Tom York, the singer of Radiohead, as an example, and being like, I at the time I was saying it'd be really hard for Radiohead to restart now because they would have to be on TikTok. Her response to me was, sure, but they would still have to find a way to do it. They would still have to, like, you know, they would still have to utilize the tool. I just think about that and in this conversation, and I guess my question is, how do you find that balance, and how would you sort of guide an artist that isn't necessarily comfortable with the TikTok and the social media game?
Yeah,
but make them understand that. So sort of needed now.
Yeah. Definitely that's like a big issue for us now. Like issue, but like a hurdle that we have to get over.
Yes.
Yeah, and like especially when it's one thing when it's like young 20-year-old artists who grew up with that and like definitely do they just like get it, they understand it. They know where they fit in it.
Yes.
It's great. they do really well. But then there's the other artists that maybe just aren't as comfortable in front of a camera, or like they just didn't grow up with it. They're not really interested in TikTok to begin with because they have too many socials already. Like,
right.
You do have to try and find a way and like test out what works for them. Most of the time we find that like posting videos of them playing live is what works because that's what they're comfortable with already. And you can still show the audience, this is what it's like to be at X artist's show. And it still works. It does work. Because if we were to put them in front of a camera and do a TikTok dance, that wouldn't feel authentic either. It's like that also wouldn't do well. You know? But yeah, so it depends. Sometimes it's the hurdle of having multiple people in a group where only some are comfortable in front of it. But yeah, so like you said, you just kind of have to test out different things and help them find their place.
Mm-hmm. You say a few seconds ago, you mentioned the word organic. I feel like it's like definitely at the forefront of the industry right now. Last week with Mickey Brandolino, we spoke about how the industry is sort of becoming a little bit more organic in the way that business is done, but also artists and how they're producing music as well, and how they're going about their socials, and fans are now looking for like authenticity in their online presence and stuff. For you, how do you find that organic voice for the artists that you work with? You know, I have a, not necessarily a challenge, but thinking about how different people would find their authentic selves, because that's what the fans want. How would you find that if you were to work with a brand new artist?
I think how we've even approached it with some of our newer artists is like, if you would do it in your everyday life already, just film it.
Yes.
And see what happens. See if you can make content from it.
Right.
Because I work with like mainly EDM DJs. So if they're able to jump on the table during a show and like dance to the music and everything, they know how to do that. So they're really good at being in front of the camera at home and also doing that to showcase their music versus some artists maybe aren't doing that on stage. So it wouldn't feel authentic anyways. From there you go, okay, well, maybe you show like videos of your dog on a walk, because that's a part of your everyday life now. Maybe show your studio. That's where you spend most of your time. Right. So I think it's just integrating what's already natural for them.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the industry in general. Very, very overarching question. Where do you think the industry is going, the music industry?
I mean, I don't think the industry ever changes like a ton overall. I think it's always like going to be there. Everyone's going to need music. Hopefully AI doesn't get in the way of like creatives. Like I hope AI doesn't take the job or the place of creatives like artists in the field.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause you already kind of see that with, like painters or like people who do digital art and things like that. Like you kind of see AI already starting to make its way in.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't continue on that trend and that real people can keep their jobs and AI can just help enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously I think we're going to continue just being really social media heavy, and whatever app is popular at the time, we're going to just keep leaning into. It was Instagram at one point. Now it's TikTok. I'm sure in 10 years it's going to be something else.
Yeah.
If
you had to predict what's after TikTok, I've had this conversation recently.
I kind of think maybe YouTube Shorts, just because it's available across so many different countries that other platforms aren't. And then obviously like YouTube has the integration of their music platform too, which I know is like the most popular out of all of them available, but there is that side of things too. So I think YouTube Shorts could get more popular.
Very cool. Other than social media, are there things, are there some new developments in the music industry that you're interested in? Maybe something that I'm not seeing, that some of our listeners aren't seeing, but you're seeing in your position?
That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. Like, I still think like social media is like the biggest thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. Not so much as that, like what people aren't seeing, but like, I think the back end of like how things are promoted and pushed to you through social media is probably what the fans don't see, because a TikTok might be doing really well organically through the fans just pushing it themselves. But then 2 weeks later, kind of starts to die down. The label's probably going to put money behind it so that it keeps getting pushed non-organically, and it still keeps getting fed to people who otherwise wouldn't have seen it.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that answers your question. Okay.
No, it's really great, because recently we've been talking about how fans are really at the forefront of deciding what and who's at in maybe like the top five artists right now. It used to be that labels were deciding for the fans, but now it's the fans almost deciding for the labels, honestly, who they should sign, who should be on the top. Chappell Roan had this huge song, still has this huge song, but it's because of the fans that this has happened. And you know, we're seeing a lot of people in the industry like this. I would even say like a Noah Kahan over the past few years, that he's had huge artists now because of the fan empowerment. But you bring up a certain thing that we haven't talked about yet, which is, okay, yes, the fans have a say up until they don't anymore, and the label still has to make money. And in regards to that, they push it non-organically. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, and like, it's, people don't want to put money behind something that they're not going to make money on. So let's try and get content out. Let's see what works organically, what people are naturally driven to.
Yes.
And then from there, okay, then we're going to put money behind it. We're going to push it further because we know that there's an audience for this, and we're not reaching everyone to our full potential.
Right.
So like, it is very strategic and it makes sense. But at the same time, it's still not fully organic.
Yeah, it's the first time I think about it in regards to the fans being almost like the tool, like the discovery tool. If these thousands of fans like this content or this style of content or this template.
Yep.
I hate that word, but for this type of stuff, but this template of content, why wouldn't it work for all these other people? You know, and it's
exactly.
Like, we didn't spend any money on this. It worked. Now let's do it again and then push it and really put money into it.
Even you see a lot of artists now that they post clips of their unreleased music online. And I think that's definitely a really smart strategy to see of what are the fans resonating with? What do they like? And if something takes off, we're releasing this 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, because it's popping off and like, let's go.
Yeah. So, yes.
And it also works in that way too.
Yes. Yeah. Last week with Mickey, we talked about like 1999, the Valley song that, the night that they were writing and recording it, they put it out on TikTok and, it blew up, and they had to submit the song like a few days later because it was blowing up on TikTok, and it sort of forced them to fast forward their process, even though that it was a quick process already. It didn't maybe fast forward their writing and creating process, but it fast forwarded their process of publishing the song. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Cause I mean, now we like short clips. We like things fast. So if we see something online that's blowing up, then we know we don't have too much longer before the next thing takes its place. And if you don't release it quick enough, like, people are going to get bored of it. If you get teased a song for 2 months, you're going to feel like you've already heard the song. So like, why are you going to go to Spotify and listen to it? You know?
Yes. So. Yes. And that's a whole thing too, where it's like, excuse me, maybe you have some insight into this. I mean, I'll ask you in regards to the balance between sort of promoting a song before it's available for people to really go and check out? Like, how do y'all see that in regards to, like, basically, like, the, like, budgeting the amount of time to promote it pre-release, but then after the release? What's that? What are those sort of conversations like?
It's like a lot of times for us, and like I said, it's probably different for different genres.
Sure.
But for us, how it will happen is sometimes people post clips of an artist playing a song out during a show that's unreleased. Sometimes that blows up. Right. So then we're like, okay, that means we have to fast track putting that out. Mm-hmm. And then usually we try to leave about a 2-week window of the artist promoting the song themselves or teasing the song out and everything. And then from there, get the music out. But like, I'd say like 2 to 4 weeks is the most you'd want to push it.
Right.
Just because after that, like I mentioned before, people just feel like they've already heard the full song then, or yes, they'll just be bored of it. It's not exciting anymore. But then obviously like Crazy. You can still see stuff, like you still like work with the song after it's released as well.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But yeah, we have short attention spans now, so we need to get things out quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying sort of see what songs work.
Yeah.
Then if that one works, spend 2 weeks on it, and then release it, and then spend more time on it afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really great. I really feel sometimes like artists should spend a lot more time promoting their material after it's released. But I feel like sometimes there's a bit of a fatigue. Like it's almost like there's a fatigue from the artist and in the camp about that they're almost sick of the song, but the song just came out like yesterday, so they stopped pushing, but they've been promoting it and thinking about it for months now. Do you feel that?
Not for every artist, not for every song, but definitely that does happen, because sometimes like an artist wrote a song a year ago and they were waiting for the other songs maybe on the EP to be finished.
Yes.
They've been sitting with this song like for a while, and it's out, they're happy it's out to the fans, but then after that they just kind of want to move on from it.
Yes. Yeah.
But not every time, but sometimes.
Yeah. So. Fantastic. Yeah. Wanted to get into your background a little bit. Can you start by telling us a little bit about how you got started in artist management?
Yeah. So I went to university at Ryerson, which is now like Toronto Metropolitan University. Yeah. And I was in their creative industries program, which was the focus on...
Shout out.
Sorry. Yeah. Were you creative industries too?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So there, as I'm sure you know, like focus was on the business side of music. And then we had to do an internship as part of our program, which I did at Universal in their promotions department, which is radio based. And yeah, it was just great for networking. From the program, got to learn a good base of basic knowledge about the industry, enough to kind of like thrive in the internship, create a good network for myself. That way, for once I was done school, you had people to lean on, ask about job opportunities, if they have friends who are looking for people to hire, because word of mouth is going to go significantly farther than even if you have the best resume in the world. If someone can say like, no, I really like that person, they'll want to hire you over someone that they don't know.
It's all about the networking. It's all about the hang.
Yeah.
Especially we honestly, we talk a lot about the hang, the, what do I even say? The mythical hang on the podcast, and then how good it needs to be, or how good the individual needs to be to really like, I don't want to say, how do I say it? Like, develop this like relationship with these people. The hang needs to be great, on the artist side, but even honestly, almost even more on the business side of things and on the management and on the industry side of things, because, it's basically all about that. Yes, you have like your artist to show for, but if you're not a good hang on the business side of things, you know, you probably won't be speaking with a lot of your colleagues at like conferences, or like, you know, calling them up for advice or like things like that. Can you talk a little bit more about the hang and how how it's affected your career this far?
Yeah, I think for me, feeling forced to network with people was hard just because it didn't feel natural. And I felt almost like I feel bad that I'm talking to you because I feel like I have to get this connection. Like you don't never want to feel like someone's talking to you or you're talking to someone purely out of wanting something.
Yes. Yeah, them. Sure. Yeah.
You know? So I just feel like finding people that you have a really like natural connection with, and building that and like keeping that connection alive is really important. Mm-hmm. Because both parties will feel a lot better about it. And even then, like going back to what you're saying, just about how important like the hang is, even there's people that you'll be, emailing for years. But then once you finally meet in person, like you connect, you have that face-to-face conversation.
Yes.
20 times more likely to be willing to help that person out or feel comfortable going to them if you need something, because it's just so much more personal. And it just makes everything less robotic.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just more positive to speak to people that you already know.
Yeah. And through word of mouth, is that what drew you to 2+2 management? Did you know there's some people over there?
Yeah. So how it worked was when I was in university, I worked part-time as like a hostess at a restaurant. And one of the girls there, she ended up working for 2+2. I had interviewed for another company that my boss owns within the music industry. So I had met the people from that side of things as well. Professionally. So when this job opportunity came up, they thought I might be a good fit.
Yeah.
So it was literally all through word of mouth, but,
yeah.
So it was like, fantastic. You never know.
Yeah.
And I think just like the little things, even if you get rejected from an interview, the little things of being like, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. If there's anything that you think would be a good fit for me in the future, let me know. I do genuinely think that goes a long way.
Yes. Oh yeah.
It shows that like you do actually want to work with them. Yes. You're interested in the field. You're not just okay, like another thing on Indeed that I didn't get, crossing it off. Like
yeah. And I gotta say, especially in the music industry, for the listeners, the follow-up is crucial.
Yeah.
The follow-up. Not necessarily right after the interview or whatever. Like not well, I mean, that's cool too. But I mean the follow-up as in if you send a text or send an email. Don't hesitate to follow up because all these folks are so busy all the time that sometimes they just forget they got the email or forget they got the text or whatever. I think it's just so crucial because a lot of the opportunities that I've had were off of follow ups. Yeah. So there you go.
Well, because you're keeping yourself top of mind to people.
Yes.
So when they're hiring, when they know people who are hiring, or like. Even beyond just like getting a job, you're always going to be, they're going to remember you.
Yeah. Fantastic. We'd love to talk to you about your day-to-day of being a day-to-day artist manager. can you describe a typical day in the life?
Yeah. So a lot of my job is dealing with tour managers, marketing teams for shows, label representatives and things like that to make sure that everything's running smoothly. So my bosses handle a lot of the big picture decision-making. So they would be more, is this the right tour or show decision for them? Is this the right label for them to go with? Is this the right timeline to release music at? Versus I would help more with the logistics of things. So, okay, now that we have the show booked, let's make sure that the marketing team for the promoters have everything they need to promote the show correctly.
Right.
Let's make sure that like ticket sales are going okay. Artwork is done for everything, you know, so it's all the little things that help push those decisions forward.
Totally. Do you sometimes feel like a project manager?
I feel like the jack of all trades. There so yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just hearing you describe all these things, the logistics and things like that. Make sure everything's good there on time, stuff like that. Yeah. Just related to the project manager side of experience. Yeah. But like, that's basically what it is, you know? It's just like, so many different projects.
Like, it's definitely like project management mixed yeah. with like a little bit of therapist, oh. a little bit of like label rat, you know, you get it all. You get the full scope. And, yes. and management.
I feel like on the Cloud Machine podcast, we don't talk about the role of like a therapist enough in regards to so many people in leadership management, yeah. Leadership roles rather. Whether it's on the creative side or, you know, the tech side of things or the yeah. management side of things, like there's always that sort of need. Can you speak to that? Obviously not without revealing anything, but just like that role and why it's important.
Yeah, I think for me, like even just like general mental health wise, something that was a learning process for me was even just time management. Mm. Like it's hard because for management, the best managers are available 24/7. You know, they're available whenever an artist needs it. And artists especially, you know, they have funny hours. They're still working on the weekends. Shows are on the weekends. If something goes wrong, you need to step in. So I think it's just finding a way to balance out, giving yourself like that mental break. Which, you know, I wasn't great at the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you just have to like take care of yourself as well. Even though you're taking care of like all these other people, you do have to make sure that you're in the best state of mind to do the best you can for them. So whether that's like therapy, meditation, you know, just like turning off your phone for a couple hours.
yes.
Whatever works for you, but it is so important, this job, or else you'll, like, even for me, like, you'll just start feeling like you're not doing enough or like you're not good enough, and little things will start to slip. And so it's important to take care of yourself.
Fantastic. That's a tip for everybody.
I mean, I think that's like any industry, any job.
Yeah. What are some of the key responsibilities and challenges that you face in your role?
Even like I said, honestly, like I feel like the role is very jack of all trades, whatever is needed.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be ready to step up and do. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things is mainly touring, making sure travel and accommodations for shows are all set, that everyone has the visuals that they need, and like marketing is going okay. Like there's that touring side of things. And then the other side is like the releases. So working with labels, making sure like they're delivering all the assets we need to promote our own music. And then there's always going to be just the small things that you would never think would come up, but then they do.
Yes.
I'd say like the touring and music release as the two main things that we balance in our roles.
Yeah. When I hear you speak about your role in your day to day, I often think about, you know, you were saying the live side of things, which is primarily in the sort of realm that we work at Eights. Can I ask you how you would sort of collaborate on the day to day with the tour manager?
Yeah. So some of our artists have tour managers, some don't. It's a bit easier when there is a tour manager because we know there's someone on site with the artist
yeah.
who can sort out any issues that might come up. So when we're with a tour manager, a lot of time we're just working together and we'll be on like these like advanced threads where we're advancing a show together. We'll make sure that, okay, they need a programming and a sound check time, make sure flights are okay with the timing. Like it's really just the logistics of things and the little things that, you know, if it goes wrong, it can mess things up, but it should be easy to do. But then when there's not a tour manager, it's just making sure that they have the proper equipment they need at the venue. If it won't be provided, how can we source it? And things
So you are sometimes a tour manager as well. Depends on the artist.
Tour manager from afar. Yeah. Like the ghost tour manager. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So. When, you know, doing this podcast, I often think about the listeners of the podcast and what they would want to know specifically about your role and some of the people that you work with and your processes. I want to ask you how you or, and now I know, 2+2, go about discovering and signing talents in 2024.
Yeah, so like I know a lot of times it is artists that who are unsigned, they'll see that they're getting popular music wise. So usually they're like self-releases, no agent, no management.
Yeah.
So sometimes they start really from the ground level where, okay, they have like great music that's starting to pop off. They're signing their own shows. We know these agents who we work with are looking at them and are interested. The agents will suggest us as management to them. So it is kind of like again, networking is very important.
Yes. Yeah.
But then it's also like with like my boss, like having conversations with these people, making sure they are the right fit. And that what we as management can provide is what they're in need of and lacking.
Right.
At other times it is, someone will have a manager who's retiring or just who no longer is the best fit for them anymore. Yeah. And you'll just kind of hear rumors of like, they're looking for someone and, you know, but so there, it depends on, I think, the level of the artist.
Yes. Yeah.
There'll be different approaches.
Yeah. For someone that's maybe at the very beginning, let's say. What do you think they should do before looking for management?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be so annoying. TikTok. Oh, like, if you can get yourself really well established there, even if you're not doing crazy, crazy numbers, I think if you're willing to put in the work of,
yes,
I'll do what I need to do to get to these fans, management or like their reps at TikTok and everything can help bring their own suggestions to the table to help you push it further. But as long as you're willing to put in the work there, I think it makes everyone's lives easier.
Yeah.
So I think if you're able to on socials, show you're able to be consistent.
Yeah. Would you suggest as well, like releasing some music, doing some shows, stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. Like the more you can do, the better. Even then networking, like network with promoters, with other artists who maybe like their management is willing to sign people. Especially if it's artists that make sense with what you're trying to do, musically, then you'll kind of find your way to the right people.
Yeah. Are there some common qualities or traits that you look for in artists that you choose to work with?
So for me, since I'm day to day, I'm not a part of like the decision making.
Yes.
For signing the artist. But in terms of
maybe some common qualities or traits that you even see in some of your artists.
Honestly, I think even like from all the ones, whether they've like kind of are just starting or they've been doing it, I think they're just really passionate about what they do. And like, they just want to be making music.
Yeah.
Sometimes like they don't want to go on TikTok. Sometimes they don't want to like be on another plane touring in this moment, which I get, like that is the job aspect of the job.
Yeah.
But like for making music isn't work, I find.
Totally.
So I think that if you're really passionate to that level, I think you can find a way to make it work for yourself.
Fantastic. I want to touch back on the social media aspect. I know it's a very big tool today, and a very big, it takes up a lot of time. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Jeez. It takes up a lot of time. Can you speak about how the rise of social media and digital platforms has specifically impacted your role and the role of management specifically in the development of an artist?
Yeah. So how it's impacted my role in particular would be, I mean, like, to be honest, I've only ever been in management for as long as social media has been relevant.
Sure.
So for me, I don't have like the prior knowledge,
yes.
But how it is a part of my job is that we will have meetings with TikTok of how can we get this artist where like, these are what they're willing to do. These are their limitations. Do you have suggestions on how we can, honestly though, like how, are we,
yes,
how can we help us? How can we do this? Because obviously they're the experts. It's like going to them for that, looking at other artists who, seeing what they're doing and how we could translate that over to ourselves. So it's a lot of even like research into that and how we can make it work for our own artists, especially the ones who maybe are struggling a bit to find where they fit in on those platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you know, we hear about, you know, oh yeah, I got a meeting at TikTok or got a meeting at Spotify and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When I think about that stuff, I still think about how the audience and the fans are so empowered these days. What are these people at these meetings like telling you? Are you specifically talking about like how to use the platform to your advantage? Is it like the tools? Maybe some of the certain trends that they're seeing? What are those meetings like?
So for like TikTok, it's more how have you seen other artists that maybe we're not seeing across our pages? How have they utilized your platform in a way that has worked for them?
Right.
We have the same limitations as we have. Sometimes it's a multi-person group where not everyone is comfortable in front of the camera. How have other groups in that situation dealt with it? Or like if we're only posting show videos, how can we make that more creative? How have they seen it happen? So it's more just because they have more eyes on the platform than we ever could.
Right.
So just having them relay that information of what they're seeing to us. First, like meetings at Spotify and everything, it's more just like exactly like we were saying about networking, where if you can have those connections and help them understand the project more from like a personal level of, this is the artist or this is their team and we're passionate about the work, let's explain it to you. That helps.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy because, you know, I have a lot of friends. We talk a lot. I have a lot of friends that are producing music and are artists. They're always coming up to me and asking or, you know, sending messages about like, oh, like, do you know how to get on these official like Spotify playlists and stuff like that. And just from knowing and talking with a lot of people on this podcast and through a lot of artists that have gotten on these platforms, after a while of just having these different conversations, it's sort of mind blowing of how connections really make a difference there. About like on how to get on like official playlists and stuff like that, and how like your distro makes it. Of course, that's their job, but it's like, okay, my distro like agent is friends with these people at Spotify, so they put my music on their Spotify playlist. Like it's mind blowing that's sort of like the secret is networking and the connections, because these people have great music. But it's really about the connections that you have, and that's why having people like management and representatives is the word that I'm looking for. It's why having representatives and good representatives that are well connected in the music industry can make a very, very big difference in your output and your impact.
Yeah, and I think especially having label like reps and distributors, your reps there, be passionate about what you're doing too. Because if they're invested in the music you're putting out and everything as well, they're going to be really pushing it when it's time to present music to streaming platforms and everything.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever like people who I've never seen it where it's like, oh, like that artist probably shouldn't have been on there. I think everyone who's on there like deserves to be on there, but it's just, there's so many people that deserve to be on there that getting your foot in the door is hard, especially if you don't have the numbers to back it already. But how do you get the numbers to back it? Probably from being on a well-established Spotify playlist that'll just help you bring in the stream. So
yes, it's the chicken or the egg thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it just comes back to the fact that yes, the industry is still so based on networking and connections and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Can you share some tips for aspiring artists on how to effectively network and build connections in the industry? You know, talking about this.
Yeah. And I kind of mentioned this before, but I think building those connections with people that you genuinely like and like think are good people, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Because I think if you just want to make sure you're getting your foot in the door with the right people and not from a, oh, well, this person knows X, Y, Z. Like, that's not always the case. Obviously, it helps if they know the right people. Mm-hmm. But I think finding the ones that are on the same, like, sounds so hippie, but like energy level as you, like they just get it, you know, versus someone who might have the connections who isn't as passionate about what you're doing because it's just not, they may not like understand it the same way. You're not going to go as far with them, I don't think. So for me, I do think it's surrounding yourself with the right team of people, kind of make or break a person.
Yeah. And do you have any advice on how to seek those people out? Seek management, seek agents out. Where to go? Is it just waiting until they approach you? I get those questions a lot as well.
Yeah.
When is it time to get a team around you and how to do it?
I think if you're growing at a level that you find to be unmanageable for yourself, that's definitely time to get a team in.
Yes.
Or I don't think it's ever necessarily wrong, like management, especially like to just get someone in there who, like I said, is passionate about what you're doing. They believe in it, but they can be just a second set of eyes or a second set of hands on things. In terms of like finding how to seek the right people, I think that getting involved in whatever genre of the industry you're in as much as possible is the best thing to do, whether that's going to showcases, like in Toronto we have like the Red Mic showcases, whether that's going to like artist camps, writing camps and things like that. Just getting involved in the industry in any way you can, even if it doesn't feel always like what you're comfortable with, like getting outside of your comfort zone and doing those things. I do think that you'll end up finding the right people who can meet you to more of the right people, and you'll find your community there.
Yeah, totally. A few other places that other artists could go, just to add on to your great list already. You know, there's like the school nights and the all the music conferences, like North by North East or Canadian Music Week. Honestly, going to like local shows, you never know who's going to be in the crowd, especially in Toronto. LA, New York, London, you know, going to events, going to shows, even if it's not music related, there's probably somebody connected to the music industry wherever you go, because there's so many people, and you'd be surprised. You'd be really surprised, especially like when you go to like those hip events, you know, if you know what I'm saying, but
I know what you're saying.
It's just like, there's just so many like music people always around at those hip events, even though you wouldn't think so. So
yeah, anyway, I agree.
Yes. Do you have any advice for, anybody that's, you know, looking to go into management?
Yeah, I think management can be a bit different than other roles in the industry, from the sense of, I think your lifestyle does have to lend yourself well to it. I mentioned before that this is a job where the expectation is probably that you're available most of the time, if yes. not all the time, which isn't the right fit for everyone, which is completely fair. Versus other jobs in the industry do provide a little bit more of a work-life balance.
Right.
So I do think that just in general, whether the work itself is appealing to you or not, I think that just making sure this is something that you're comfortable doing every day and maybe sometimes needing to step away from like a family party because you have to go like rebook a flight quickly or like you have to like just answer an email quick while out to dinner with friends. You know, it's not the most convenient, but if you're passionate about the work and your lifestyle still lends itself to it, it's a great job.
Totally.
Yeah.
Wanted to ask you a bit of an inside question. It's not necessarily an inside question because this is what this podcast is about. You know, just the this networking, especially in management, especially in like labels, representation, and stuff like that. There's a big like party scene.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about maintaining a balance between the business side of artist management, the creative side of artist management, and the fun / party / networking / hanging of the of your life, basically.
Yeah. And I do think that this is something that again differs per genre a little bit.
Yes.
Like I'm in EDM, so like just like the audience itself, like that is like a little bit more like drug heavy audience versus like country music. Maybe there's more like drinking in the audience, like things like that.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm just, I think when it's time to work, you need to work. Like, you know, whether you're hungover from the night.
That's no, just like, major response.
It's true though. And like, whether you're hungover from the night before or not, like you have to get yourself out of bed, go into like office or like go on your laptop and like get done what needs to be done. You know, and a lot of times it'll even be like we're at a show and the one artist decides that like, oh, like I want to like maybe leave a bit later now for my flight out tomorrow. You have to like put the socializing and the partying on hold backstage to go and it's time to do work for 5 minutes, you know? Yeah, yeah. So I think it's just, this sounds so like parental, but you have to get your priorities straight. Like work has to come first. You have to get the job done in order to actually like have fun with the job. If not, you're probably getting fired.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah. No, but like, you know, it's just, I think when it's time for myself where it's like I need a mental break, not like partying as much, even then like I need to go like go to a workout class or like go watch Love Island for an hour because my brain needs to rot for a minute.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do, you know? And then if I need to book something or finish filling out a document like an hour later, it'll still be there.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like knowing what's right for you. And just making sure you're still getting the job done while also like having fun with it since it's a fun industry. Like music is such a fun industry to be in. And you get to go to a bunch of different types of shows, meet a bunch of different cool, like really cool people.
Yeah.
And I have to say, in school, like you're never sure when you're in the job, what the personalities and stuff will be like. I've so rarely met anyone that I haven't felt was just a great person, which I've loved. So yeah, I think if you want to be in the music industry, do it. It's a good time. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Last few questions here. What should artists look for when choosing a representation, specifically a management company to work with?
I mean, I think personality, like, do you drive well? Because you're talking to these people every single day.
Yes. Yeah.
You're dealing with problems together. So I think that trusting the person, and being able to go to them with issues in a way where you can be honest with each other is just so, so important. So if there's someone where you maybe aren't as comfortable, like even as an artist to a management going to for help, there might not be the right fit. Obviously there's a period of time where you're warming up to people, you're learning each other's preferences and things like that. But I think it's just, you almost want it to be like a friendship a little bit too. Obviously with like boundaries work, but you want it to feel almost like a friendship.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about what you're looking forward to.
I'm just like looking forward to seeing where life, like personally, where life takes me.
Yeah.
Oh, like I said, it's just like an industry with so many opportunities. And even just being in management specifically, every day is new challenges, you're learning. And you also, like we said, like you get to have fun too. So I think just continuing to see like where my artists grow, where this role kind of takes me in the future.
Yeah.
Just excited for that.
Fantastic. And what's the dream?
The dream?
Yeah.
The dream would be like managing like Dua Lipa and start to copies, but I don't know. I think I have a little bit of a ways to go for that one. Yeah. No, but the dream, I just like want to make sure that in life I'm happy, that I'm like comfortable, and that I'm still passionate about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's a great dream. I want to conclude on the Dream Fest game. Now, for those of you, maybe it's your first time listening. I hope it's not your last. But we do a few games on the podcast, and this is the Dream Fest game. Basically, during this game, I asked my guest this week, is Nat, about basically your dream festival lineup. And your dream festival just overall, and give you the chance to basically program and design your own event. So I'm asking you a bunch of these questions. Now I would ask you who would be playing. So three acts, a headline, a middle act, and an opener. Where the festival would happen. When is it? What time of the year? The era, as in maybe like what decade? And yeah. I've added as well the food or beverage served at this festival that would best represent you, which is a fun question.
Love it.
So we can take our time with this, but just wanted to ask you about the Dream Fest game here.
Okay, so can the artists be dead or alive, or do they have to be
yes,
alive?
Yes, of course, dead or alive.
Okay, this is easy then. Headliners?
It's easier if dead or alive, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're
probably the first guest that this is easier if it's dead or alive.
No, because if it's alive, then I feel like bad almost. Because I'm like, well, there's so many people to choose from. But if it's like people who are no longer like with us, then I'm okay. I can't hurt anyone's feelings.
Right, right.
Headliner, the Beatles. Because the Beatles. I would say like opener...
Can I ask, because I'm such a big fan, can I ask what era of the Beatles?
Honestly, like I love all their albums.
Yeah.
Everything.
big cue.
This is actually like probably, really hard.
Probably one of the biggest cues of the podcast.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know. this is putting me on the spot though.
Maybe what album?
Dead or Alive was easier in my opinion. Yeah.
Yes.
But
like, are we talking about like early Beatles, like Mop Top era, or are we talking like middle of the road Beatles, or like end of the Beatles?
I did like Let It Be. Early and mid, late Beatles I liked, but like early and mid for me were they have the good ones.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hot like,
take. Oh, I'm gonna be canceled from this podcast.
No. Yeah, stopping the recording right now.
Yeah.
No, but all Beatles albums are great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What are your other acts?
I want to keep going now.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I did Queen with Freddie Mercury.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not with Adam Lambert.
Hey, well, I have seen with Adam Lambert.
Kidding,
he's actually fantastic.
Okay.
They're going to be canceled.
Yeah. What era of Queen?
Yeah. Yeah, the Adam Lambert era.
that'd be crazy as a dancer. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah. So like Queen.
Okay, Queen.
And then for the last one, tough decision. Taylor Swift.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's okay. She is ruling the industry. I was actually having a conversation lately about how Taylor Swift is almost like, she's not even music industry anymore. Like she is, but it's like so above the music industry. It's like, it blows my mind of how like different just her whole entire process is. And just like, you know, the extravagant timeline of her tour, the whole movement behind the Eras tour, all that stuff. It just feels like she's like, not necessarily above the music industry, but like it's a completely different thing.
Yeah. I think she is such a great example of surrounding yourself with the right team, because like I think she's a great businesswoman, but the team of people behind what she's doing. And I think they have made just such smart moves. And I think having the right, like, management, the right, like, labels, the right PR teams, like, they just know what they're doing. And they're such a well-oiled machine in terms of, like, understanding her and how, like, the audience perceives her. I think they're the template now. So,
ooh,
yeah. Right. But I'm biased. So
yeah. Okay, yeah. So we're looking at the Beatles, Queen, and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Where would this festival be?
Just because going back to where my favorite show was, I would say Glastonbury.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in the UK.
Yes, Glasto in the UK.
Yeah.
What time of year?
Spring. In the spring.
Okay.
Glasto's in the summer. Woke up a bit too sweaty in the tent. I'm going with the spring. A little bit cooler.
Love a crisp May. I love a May.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the era, not necessarily the artist, but when is this festival, aka like a year or something, or like is there like a time in culture?
Well, I think we would have to say like the 70s, very hippie.
Yeah.
Everyone's peace and love. There's no bad vibes. I would say the 90s, but that's when festivals took a little bit of a scary turn. Some festivals, but yeah. So let's say the 70s.
That's great. And then last but not least, food or beverage, maybe you do the both, served at the festival that would best represent you.
I think we'd have to go with margaritas and tacos. Tacos are such like a good festival food. They're so easy. And then margaritas, because who doesn't love a good crisp marg or virgin marg?
There you go. Well, you can have a crisp virgin marg. Can't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. Okay. Non-alcoholic tequila.
Yes.
But in that case, then I'm going with Diet Coke. If I'm drinking virgin drink, I'm going Diet Coke.
Oh, my gosh. I think, I thought I had to pause there for a second because I thought you meant Diet Coke in the marg.
I've seen recipes online that are similar, except with... Sorry, we're really going off topic now.
Please, this is the important part. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a recipe of like a margarita with Dr. Pepper in it that looks like insane, but at the same time, I want to try. So we'll see. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, that's how we conclude this episode of the Cloud Machine Podcast. Thanks, Nat. It's been great.
Thank you. I've loved chatting with you.
Thank you very much. Hey everybody, this week we had a great conversation with Natalie Weigel, one of the day-to-day managers at 2+2 Management. We talked about a lot about social media, a lot about how artists are, utilizing that tool to, promote their own music.
in today's world. We also spoke about challenges and realities that she's facing in her role as a day-to-day artist manager in the industry, how artists are getting signed these days, what they can do to get signed, and so much more. To our listeners, you can connect with Natalie and stay updated on her latest projects by following the 2+2 management account on social media. That's at 2+ as in plus 2 management, but it's MGMT. Thank you for tuning in, and please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share, and leave a review. We do this because it's a great platform to learn about other people's experiences and some of the realities in the industry. And if you have some friends that would love to learn just like you are right now, please don't hesitate to share with them. Also, don't forget to join our vibrant community on the 8s Network Discord. Whether you're a musician, industry professional, or a music enthusiast, it's the perfect place to connect with like-minded individuals, gain valuable insights, and access some exclusive 8s creative content. Visit the links in the episode description to join today. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe and see you next week. Bye.